Today on the Yoga Therapy Hour, we actually have two special guests. We don't often have two for the price of one. And our guests are Kenya DeJarnett and Tina Paul. And I asked Tina to be on the podcast. She is a fellow professor at the Maryland University of Integrative Health, Master's in Yoga Therapy program with me. I've been recently hired to be the chair of the department there. And so I said, Tina, let's talk about Ayurveda. Let's talk about yoga therapy. And she said, I have a great idea. Let's bring Kenya on to talk about her life experience, her story, how Kenya became self-empowered to heal herself through yoga therapy, and Ayurveda. And I thought that's a great idea. Let's do that. So I want to introduce you to two lovely, lovely women who have gone through this transformational process of learning to become a yoga therapist. And now they are out there in the world as yoga therapists helping other people. So let's get started. Let's talk to Tina Paul, who works at a hospital helping cancer care patients through yoga therapy, and research. She also is a professor at MUIH of yoga therapy and Ayurveda. And then talk to Kenya, who is the main player in this story, and you will get to hear all about her journey. All right, let's go meet them. Welcome to the Yoga Therapy Hour. I'm Amy Wheeler, your host, and I wanted to tell you about something very special that we do as a community on Monday nights. Every Monday night for several years now, we've had a community of people that comes together and we do a little Dharma talk where we talk about a Yoga Sutra as it pertains to being human and suffering less and getting good daily routines or finding deeper relationships or having more emotional intelligence. So we start off every Monday night with a little lecture and discussion, and then we go into about four or five gentle postures. We come back and do a couple of breath work, pranayama techniques, and then we go into a deep meditation for about 25 minutes. Oftentimes it's a yoga nidra meditation or a guided visualization, but it's a really special time. And then we finish off each Monday night for those that would like to stay a little bit longer. And we talk about the theory of why we did what we did, and we give continuing education credits for that. So our Monday nights are wonderful, and we would love to see you there. In August of 2025, we're going to be talking about managing anxiety, stress, and insomnia. They have the same roots, managing anxiety, stress, and insomnia, with yoga. So if you can join us in August, we would love to see you with us for Monday nights. You can see the link to sign up in the show notes. Welcome, Kenya. Welcome, Tina. Thank you for being with us today on the podcast.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us.
Kenya, where are you joining us from?
I am coming from Southern California. It's a town north of LA called Palmdale, California.
Oh, good. I used to live in Lake Arrowhead, very close to Palmdale.
Right, I know.
And Tina, how about you? Where are you at in the world?
I am currently in New York City, in Brooklyn.
Wow.
Nice.
Tina's keeping her sound off a little bit because she's in the middle of the city and there's a lot of street noise. So,
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
yeah, we're going to bring her on.
Okay.
So, just to kind of set up this episode of the podcast, we're here to talk about Kenya's story, how she came to yoga, Ayurveda, health, healing, and beyond. And the way that Tina fits into this whole journey is that Tina was Kenya's professor at Maryland University of Integrative Health, MUIH. And so we just thought it would be fun to have Tina come into the conversation too and add in, some interesting things that, as Kenya tells her story, Tina can just add in. So All right, Kenya, let's start from the beginning. Before you knew anything about this thing called yoga, where were you? What were you doing?
Where was I? Well, I was on a bit of a health journey or saga. I don't know how you, I guess I would have said saga back in the day. But I had a few years of really having some struggles mentally and physically. Then in 2014, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And at that time, just having some previous challenges with my body was just a total, looking back on it, nervous system dysregulated from many things. You know, I was suffering from depression and anxiety disorder to the point of leaving the house was causing me the anxiety and panic attacks. I guess I was probably, I don't know how many years into marriage at that time, maybe about 8 or 9 years. And my husband and I were trying to have children. So I was having an infertility, struggling with infertility, going through IVF. And, you know, we lost a child, miscarried. I know when I look back at it now, it's like, wow, you know, but when I got the breast cancer diagnosis, it was like, it woke me up. I don't know if that makes sense. I was,
100%.
I was in a, you know, a deep, dark place and it woke me up. I just went into this mode of, you know, this fight mode. And I don't know, just a lot of what the person that I was, that I had lost, that fight, that really determined person, that person who is an advocate for herself, you know, those qualities start to rise in me again. And at the time, I am a believer, a follower of Christ, grew up with that religion in my life. But I even found myself somewhat disconnected from that aspect too, because it was, you know, so much darkness at the time. And I asked God, I was like, okay, I didn't ask him why. I just asked, okay, help me get through it. And me asking that, and it opened up to me like, I'm going to let go of all the weight of quote unquote religion and what I'm supposed to do and family, what family thinks, what other people outside influences. And I'm going to open myself up to maybe things I hadn't thought to do in the past. So that's when I discovered yoga.
Can
Because,
I say how interesting that is, though? You kind of went to Jesus.
yes,
This is your guy.
this is my
And
guy.
apparently, Jesus thought yoga could be part of that answer. Were you surprised
Yes,
by that?
I was because, you know, in some Christian circles, it's that new world stuff, or that's not of God. And, you know, the idea of even doing that. I tried yoga classes, but more for the fitness in the past. But it was definitely something that I would not consider going in, like being so intrigued by how it made me feel and just being open to just, you know, alternative approaches. And it was through a wonderful cancer support community that had all these modalities for people who were going through cancer. And I was open up to therapy, even, you know, that was something that, I mean, I swear by it now. I think everyone, you know, needs to experience, especially if they're having challenges. But in my community, you know, it was like, no, you don't go to therapy and you go to church or you ask your pastor or that type of thing. I've kind of felt like, okay, I'm going for it. I'm open to everything. And to me, I just feel such grace and gratefulness for me being, you know, you grow through what you go through, if you've heard that before.
I have it. I
And
like it.
and it allowed me to be on this other side of that journey and be on this other path now that is very fulfilling for me, that I found my purpose in. So I can get a little emotional thinking about
Yeah,
it.
I can hear that. So I'm going to give it a pause because I want to bring Tina in here. You just said, Kenya, that this getting cancer was a wake-up call. Like, lady, you got to start taking care of yourself, got to prioritize yourself, you got to figure out how to get healthy. Tina, you work in the yoga and cancer care of what, Sloan Kettering. I can never say that word. Did I say it right?
Yes, Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center.
So just tell us a tiny bit about that, because Kenya went to this cancer support group out in Southern California, but you're doing this in New York, and eventually the two of you are going to meet. We haven't got there in the story yet, but just tell us a tiny bit about what you do at Sloan for people like Kenya who come with a cancer diagnosis that maybe had never thought yoga could be part of their life.
Yeah, so I work as part of the integrative medicine services team at Sloan Kettering. So I work alongside dance therapists, acupuncturists, music therapists, Tai Chi instructors. And so the program offers classes to folks that are undergoing treatment or recovering from treatment. And these used to be much more in person before the pandemic, but they've moved more virtually. So that's one component. Another component is that we bring these practices, these integrative practices and mind-body therapies bedside. Specifically, I work with pediatrics and caregivers. And so we'll go right into a room and work with the family, offering these practices right at bedside. So oftentimes, working with people that are not familiar with the practice, or they kind of are, you know, from mainstream, and oftentimes bringing a lot of the other elements of the yoga therapy practice, not just the physical, but oftentimes the breath work and the meditation. And so that's another component. And then one more component is that we're doing research at the hospital. So there is a study that we're currently in right now. It's a randomized control study that's looking to see if yoga helps neuropathy pain. So this is numbness or tingling and pain from chemo treatment. That's also another component. So there's a little bit of research, there's group practice, there's individual practice, there's private practice. So there's a lot of different threads of kind of meeting, not just yoga therapy, but also these other integrative practices.
That's amazing. I love to hear that. And I know you've been there a really long time, Tina. This is not a new thing, right?
I think I'm close to 8 years now there. It slowly just evolved. I joined when they were doing a pilot study at the end of 2017 as part of that small study. I think it was about 41, 42 participants in that study. And that study showed some promising results. And so then they got a grant, an NIH grant for a randomized control study. And you know how these things move pretty slowly. So it took time to get that, you know, and then COVID and then transitioning things. But we are in the midst of that study right now, which is actually multi-center now. It's actually also at Dana-Farber as well as Memorial Sloan. So that's exciting.
Nice. That's so exciting.
It is. And I'm just imagining, Kenya, you're going to your, I don't know if it was in Palm Desert, California, but like you're meeting people like Tina that are there to support you and to help you learn how to breathe, how to feel, how to tune into yourself to know when you're tired or when you need to eat or when you need to go to the bathroom. I know a lot of us that have ended up with chronic illness like cancer, we've been disconnected from our bodies.
Yes. And I traveled for it because, you know, living up in the high desert, you know, those support communities were down below. We call it down below, down in Los Angeles. And it just so happened I was really blessed. I had my treatment at UCLA, which is there in Westwood and, you know, down by Los Angeles. And there was an organization that offered people who were traveling from great distance to have their healthcare taken care of at UCLA, that they had a home that you can like live in for a while, that, you know, I was able to apply and be in the house. Each of the rooms were like little hotels, you know, but it looked like a house. And so that also gave me a community support, a connection support of other people going through not just cancer. There was a lung transplant person. And I mean, I just the blessings along the way, you know, that I can just see that, yes, this was my path.
You and know, this, how long did you live in this house?
So 9 months, about 9 months. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I just got a chill down my spine. Nine months.
Yeah. Early on. So I was able to do my chemo which is in town where I work at. Actually, it's about 40 minutes away from me at a UCLA community health center. You know, they have different little sites out in the suburbs. My surgeon was at the main campus who, after having, you know, several consultations, the person that I chose to go with. So that was there in LA. But prior to that, I was traveling to LA until I, you know, radiation had was for 8 weeks. And actually mine went a little bit longer because I had to take some time off and also going through physical therapy for lymphedema. That was being there at the main campus. And that's what the duration was so long because I was also able to do that to get my treatment for physical therapy as well.
Wow.
It's an amazing organization.
I know. Yeah.
I'm a find out person. Like I'll investigate. I'll look at, you know, it was me advocating for myself, asking questions. I'm, you know, if you can tell from my personality, I speak to everyone, you know. I was isolated for a long time going through, you know, the struggles that I was going through. And I was able to find myself again or come back to myself. Yoga helped me come back to myself, even in that situation of having this connection with community and with other people that were going through similar challenges. And we can rally around each other and learn from each other, different things going through the support groups. That's how you hear about, you know, a lot of times the doctors are now, they will say, oh, why don't you try yoga? They may not know what the mechanisms are that's helpful, but they're hearing it from their patients. But a lot of what we learn or I learned were from other people who had gone through it already.
Right.
You know, like, oh, try this place. Or, hey, if you have, you know, numbness or try this, you know, numbness in your fingers, or, oh, you know, if you need to have some, learn how to do some makeup when you lose your eyebrows, oh, try this place, you know, it's a beautiful community. And
yeah. And yeah. I think we say that in yoga, that being part of a community can be one of the healing, maybe the most important healing tool.
Yes. Right. What that social connection, right?
100%. And not feeling lonely. You know, so much research now on loneliness, and it's the equivalent of smoking a bunch of cigarettes every day and all the inflammation that happens. So what do you think, and I'm going to ask you both this question, mm-hmm. What do you think the mechanism or mechanisms of yoga are that help people who are going through something like cancer care? Do you think it's the breath? Do you think it's the more meditative aspects, the self-reflection? Like, what is it about yoga that made a difference for you, Kenya?
Yeah, I would say that present moment awareness, number one. You know, it can be daunting if you think about everything that's coming at you, you know, all at once. You know, taking it one day at a time, like putting the one step in front of the other, having that awareness of just where you are in any particular time. Definitely learning how to, you know, regulate your nervous system, having those tools, whether it's the breath work or the meditation. I fell in love with yoga nidra that I had and had some training on that. So if you are having challenges with understanding who you are, who you truly are, it helps you learn that. It helps you come back to that. It helps you go through life in a way that is where you can just show up as your authentic self and know that it's not always going to be, you know, you're going to have your hills and valleys, but that's okay too. And that you can allow yourself to, and it's a constant work. I mean, I always say that even with studying yoga therapy and Ayurveda, you can spend a whole lifetime and still, you know, not get it all. And I find myself, oh, wanting more. You know, I always say I'm going to be a professional student, a professional learner. And that's exciting too, you know, because I'm constantly like curious and, you know, wanting to find out ways to not only help myself, but what can I learn that will help me help others?
Beautifully said. My name is Amy Wheeler, and I am the host of the Yoga Therapy Hour. I oftentimes get asked, Amy, you've been doing this for 2.5 years now. How can we help support the Yoga Therapy Hour? And there's a few ways. Number one, you can become a Patreon member, and that is on Patreon. You can donate as little as $5 a month to the podcast. But another way that you could help us would be to join our Optimal State mobile app. That too, right now, is about $5 a month. It helps you track your gunas. It gives all sorts of lifestyle medicine suggestions based on yoga and Ayurveda. We have yoga nidras on there. We have Dharma talks on there. So you could actually benefit from getting the app and also help support this podcast at the same time. We hope you'll consider it. Go to the Apple iPhone store, and we hope that you'll download that app and start using it so that you can benefit, and so can we. So Tina, when you're working with clients like Kenya, they come in, maybe they're, I don't know, disconnected. What do you think the mechanisms are that are really helping people to reconnect and find themselves again?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's something I think we debate internally as well on, you know, what is it of the practice that's making the patient feel better? And it's tricky because I don't think it's just one thing, as Kenya mentioned. It's everything. It's the entire practice. It's the presence, the therapeutic presence of the container, I think, that the client and the teacher create together, that kind of safe space. It's also obviously the physical postures that we may move through. It's the deep listening, I think, that happens. I also think it's all the tools, but integrated, and kind of that fuzzy feeling you feel at the end, but you kind of can't get to that Shavasana feeling if you haven't kind of moved through all kind of the different layers of the practice, of the postures, of the awareness, of the breath, of the meditation, you know. So it is very much an integrated practice that you can't really just tease. And I'm sure there are, you know, studies that are looking at maybe like just at a breath practice or just at something. But I really find that you need all these components to touch the different koshas or the different layers or sheets of the body. It's that you need, you know, community, you need that connection, you need that safety, you need the poses and the breath and the awareness for the magic feeling to arise.
And I think even the therapeutic alliance can go back to the yamas and non-harming and speaking the truth and how we are in relationship together. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, not growing up in the South Asian culture and in, you know, with Indian philosophy in our home, when I saw how it's laid out and how systematic it is, it blew my mind. Like, how did people know this? There is a map. And like Tina said, it's not, you don't just choose one little thing off the map. No, you do the map, you do it all. And something really big shifts inside of us. I'm sure there are other systems. Maybe traditional Chinese medicine has a map like that. I don't know. I haven't studied that. Ayurveda definitely has a map similar, if not overlapping, to yoga. But I don't know of other systems that include physical, energetic, mental, emotional, relational, spiritual tools that all go together. What do you think, Kenya?
It's so true. I'm still like in awe. And that's, you know, what I was so curious to learn more. And then when you do, it's like, where has this been all my life? You know, and my family needed this, or, you know, my family, just the whole, the community, the world as it is now, you know, right now we all can so benefit, you know, just seeing the beauty. And I'm just amazed. I always say, boy, the ancient wise people who just observe, they were like the expert observers of life and people and nature and spending that time meditating, you know, without the TV and all the things of the, you know, boy, were they just open. They were just so open. And I'm just always amazed, even today, that there's a blueprint right there, you know?
Yeah. It's so true. I mean, we are so distracted by social media and our phones and driving all over the place. And it's just interesting to think back in the day how different their mind and their nervous system must have been functioning in order to observe and create this blueprint, if you will?
Yeah. You know, say they were tapped tuned to the divine, you know, it's like when their systems were such in the way and they were had that stillness within them and the meditation and, you know, really moving inward, and they were just tapped in, I believe. That allowed for, you know, just the wisdom to come.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Kenya, let's move a little ahead in your story now. You have successfully been with yoga for some time, and I assume you made it through the cancer journey.
Yes.
Here you are.
Here I am.
And so at some point, did you say, wow, I want to share this with other people? Or how did you get to like becoming a teacher and eventually meeting Tina at Maryland University of Integrated Health? Like, let's talk about you becoming the guide.
Yeah. You know, having the experience with yoga through going to those classes during my treatment and after, and then discovering, you know, after coming back home and not being able to drive so far away, just happened to meet in one of the, it was a class that I was taking. It's like a 6-week series at one of the support centers that had to do with nutrition and health for preventing a reoccurrence. And the teacher of that class, it was like a hands-on cooking demonstration. And the teacher for that class just so happened to be a professor at the junior college where I live. And she just created a yoga teacher training class for the community college. But she initially said, oh, you don't have to be a full student, you can be in a member of the community, you can take classes at the junior college. And I don't know why I hadn't thought of that, you know, after having already finished college. And so I just started taking yoga classes at the college with all the young people. You know, probably one of the oldest people in the class, but I just showed up because, hey, it felt good and I was enjoying it. And just having, I don't know, I love being around all age groups because it's something you can gain from young people and that energetic energy. And I was always, as a young person, I love to be around older people to hear their stories. So that's always kind of fed me. But so going through the classes there, I think I would go 3 times a week, and that was lovely. And then, you know, this yoga teacher training, I was like, well, maybe I need to know more, you know, this is great, but I need to know more. Maybe I'll just, you know, sign up for the teacher training, which was a whole year, a school year. So it was like 9 months. So that I was a member of the second cohort, probably the year later. And I joined that cohort. And initially, I didn't think I would be a teacher. You know, I was still on my healing journey. And as I was learning more, and it's like, oh, okay, this is making sense to me. There's, you know, science involved and it's bringing it all together. And I was like, more people need to experience this, especially people who have been going through health challenges like I had or was. And so when I finished teacher training, immediately a friend had a fitness center that he was going to start bringing yoga to the community. And I think three of the teachers went to work with him initially, like within a couple of months. So I was right in there teaching right away. That particular business didn't take off, but just one thing led to the other. And I just became a teacher, you know, was working at different, I think 4 or 5 different studios to this point, you know, but I had to kind of decide to drive in to the next bigger town over where I work now in Valencia, because we're in the high desert. We don't have very many yoga studios here. And so, yeah, so I'm teaching now. I mean, I started teaching, enjoying that. Of course, taking other trainings. I discovered Yoga Nidra as part of my training. And I was like, whoa, you know, what was that experience? Just hearing I know my teacher at the time, John Vossler, who is a dear person that I love. Even to this day, I have my training with him through Amrit Yoga Institute. And the experience of that meditation was moving and so inspiring and helpful. So I did other teacher trainings.
Can I stop for a minute?
Do I have to stop?
Just for a minute before we get on MUIH. Like when you're talking about this, I'm just remembering this amazing book I read a few years ago, A Year of Yes. Did you read it?
By Shonda.
Yeah.
Yes, Shonda Rhimes.
That's what
Yes.
you're reminding me of, that you're just saying yes to life. Like,
Yes.
so I'll try that. Oh, yes, I'll go try that working over there. Oh, yes, I'll drive over to Valencia. You're open and spontaneity to like just embrace life is infectious.
Yeah, that's so cool. I always think of it as like these threads, you know, there's like this thread weaving through my life. And I'm like, thank you. I did. I was open and it opened me up. And I've been open ever since.
Do you credit that experience of making it through cancer and being with that community of kind of lighting you up again?
Yes, absolutely. Because it helped me find myself again. Yeah, it did. And I can kind of get chills thinking about it because it very much did. Like I said, it woke me up and opened me up and just put me on this path that is so, I don't know, just it's who I am now. It's just who I
Yeah.
am.
Can I ask Tina a question quick before we get into the next part of the story? Tina, do you see that often that people get cancer unexpectedly and then I'm sure there's very sad cases that it doesn't turn out well, but do you see a lot of people like Kenya where it actually wakes them up and kind of shifts their perception of who they are and why they're here? And is that common with the people you work with?
Sometimes I don't really get to go long term with their journey, but I have close friends that have been on a cancer journey, and I've definitely seen it with them. With patients, I often see that in terms of the practice, like there'll be something that they're not familiar with that they want to try, and that it sometimes touches them so deeply, and then there's a transformation that happens. But I guess they don't verbalize it. Like I see it, and they'll mention things, towards the end of our time together, what's happening. But in terms of like a long standing, I've definitely seen that with friends. They'll say things like that. They'll say that it woke me up to something that I wasn't aware of or, brought me closer to myself. This is not to say that it's like, something positive. I'm just kind of sharing similar sentiments that Kenya had mentioned of how it can be kind of life-changing, take your life in a different direction.
Yeah. Some of you know I had cancer in 2022. This is almost 3 years now from getting diagnosed. And I actually had the opposite effect, Kenya. I had been saying yes to everything, and now I'm way more discerning because I feel like my life is, I'm in the last one third of it. I don't have unlimited energy and resources. There's things I want to experience. I'm really deciding, like, is that something I want to do with my precious days that I have left? Which I consider all of these days like extra days now. Just to go to Tina's point and your point, Kenya, like maybe it shifts or changes all of us a little differently depending on what we were doing when we came in and where we're going after we move out.
It meets us wherever we are in our journey, sort of like,
Yeah.
how yoga does, but meets us where we are. And me finding yoga later on in life. And yeah, I hear what you're saying because I'm sort of in that place where I too have to learn how to, or I'm considering thinking about, okay, how to set my boundaries as well. That's important too. So, I don't want to go so far over, I was over here on this side. And so now I don't want to go so far over here, right? I want to be right in the middle somewhere. Trying not to be so attached to the outcome, I guess.
All right. So now you have become a yoga teacher,
Yes.
and then your next step is what?
My next step is I find out about MUIH. Well, first, we have Loyola Marymount. We have the MA program. And when I was in the yoga teacher training, they have a yoga day every year. And it was a whole day spent there. And I met Dr. Chapel and had a great time going to yoga day, participating. And I'm like, oh, I was like, okay, there's more I can learn. My idea of thinking is, my initial main goal was to be able to bring yoga to those in, you know, going through facing cancer. So my idea was, after considering Loyola and I found out about MUIH, and I can't even tell you how I found out about MUIH. I think something popped up and then I read, I mean, I just don't even, you know, it's not like someone said, hey, check out this school or anything. It just, as I was considering about to apply for Loyola or going through the intro day or the welcome day, learning about that program, I discovered MUIH and it had the clinical component to it. And I thought, oh, that would be really beneficial, maybe to be able to bring it. I wanted to make sure that I was going to be able to learn in such a way that I would do no harm. And for such a community that was already going through a lot. So I wanted to be at my best self and learn as much as I could on that clinical end. So yeah, so I found myself, took a great deal of commitment because I was going to be traveling from the West Coast to Maryland.
Because at that time it was in person?
It was in person. Yes,
oh my goodness.
It was in person.
Now,
it was
right. Now we're 100% online.
Yes, and it was also a little fit in a start because part of it was COVID right in the middle that made it where part of it, that's when it became hybrid, right, Tina, if I remember correctly? And so it being hybrid, that I didn't have to be there the whole time, and it opened up this online aspect for part of it. And my husband was gracious enough to come on board, which I'm thankful for that. So, and that's how I found myself at MUIH and meeting Tina.
So was Tina your professor for like one of the yoga therapy / philosophy classes?
Or do you remember? Tina was my professor for breath work, breath and health, I think it was the name of it. I want to say, Tina, did we have at least a time that we met in person? I'm trying to remember. We must have. And then we had the online classes too.
Yes, I think it was just in the midst of it.
Yeah. So that's where I met Tina, and then through the yoga therapy program. And then I was with her again as I decided Ayurveda, the little bit that we touched upon initially in yoga therapy, I felt like it was something that needed a little more education or a little more input for what I'd like to do with yoga therapy. And that's when I decided that I would take that year certificate program.
So you took the yoga therapy master's and then the Ayurveda certificate, which is another year.
Yes.
Wow. You are the year of yes.
Right. I'm going to be a decade of yes soon, but yeah.
And when you got to MUIH and met Tina, and I think it's called Breath and Health or something.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that Tina was already working in cancer care for yoga therapy?
I did not. Even at the time, I think Kelly Bethel had worked with cancer patients too, but in her own business, I believe. But yeah, I didn't know. And who works at Chopped?
Tanya Colt.
Yeah. Tanya, yeah, I love her too. Sorry, Tanya, when you listen to this, it just slipped my mind. But yeah.
I just want to say that, how amazing that is, though, to have that many professors that were actually simultaneously doing work in the field at these integrative health clinics and businesses. Like, that's kind of rare, I think. Is it hard for you to juggle all the stuff you're doing at the hospital and then being a professor at MUIH? Is that like a lot?
You know, I think it informs each other. So it's really exciting to be able to work as a clinician in a hospital setting and then see what, you know, a student may experience in their future and kind of give feedback on that experience on how, you know, to approach it or how to navigate that. So I feel like woven, you know, a relation there in terms of taking some of the clinician work and then making it more supportive for the student. It's kind of in a real time, in a real world way, a real world application.
Like experiential type of, you know, bringing that aspect to.
Yeah, I think what's helped is seeing case studies and then really bringing them into the classroom and being like, this was an actual case. You know, we've changed the names and the demographic and such, but this was an actual case study and this is what happened. And what do you think about this? And kind of be able to offer that. So that's been really interesting, I think, from that perspective. And I hope that's translated.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm trying to get at is the real world hands-on people who are doing the work. I always say, like, they're close to the ground, they're close to the pulse in yoga therapy and some in Ayurveda, that like they know what's going on. It's not just theory. And Tina, did you get your master's degree at MUH?
I did as well.
Okay.
Yes. I was part of the first cohort back in 2013.
My
So
gosh.
I'm also an MUH alum. So yeah.
I have to say though, I'm just going to put this little plug in because since I've come to MUH, I really am seeing this. The MS, the master's degree, opens a lot of doors in addition to the CIAYT. But something about that master's degree, and then like you said, Kenya, the clinical experience the whole second year where you're actually at the natural care center and you're working with electronic medical records and you're seeing clients real time and you're getting supervised. Yeah. Like there's something really special about that whole second year in preparation for hopefully a job in integrative health.
Yeah. Even starting your own business. Although
Yeah.
I see myself probably, I'd like to do some research. I'm not making plans for it, but I'm open. I'm just remaining open.
So what do you see for yourself, Kenya, now that you have become a yoga teacher, a yoga therapist, an Ayurvedic certificate? What do you see for yourself going forward?
Well, I just opened my own private practice. Talking about sort of like preparing, I have my ideas about what I wanted to do. And still, I really want to at some point be involved in some research studies and still want to get to that aspect of having a connection with integrative health in the hospital setting. I don't know. I really manifested this experience because I said to myself, I know exactly what I wanted to do, but my ideal situation would be able to work in a wellness center and they had different modalities. They had, acupuncture and yada, yada, yada. I said that would be my dream thing, right? Where I teach now, currently 4 classes at the yoga studio in Valencia, the wonderful owners there had a vision of creating a wellness center. And right when I was about to finish school, they had an opportunity to buy into a space next to the studio that opened up to create that wellness center. And at the time, my wheels were turning in my head like, maybe that could be where things start. And it opened up at the beginning of the year. They started. I was asked graciously to come on board, and we have a collective. We're calling ourselves a wellness collective, and it's just a healing space for self-care and just to come as you are. There's a nutritionist, a dietitian who has an office. There's a mental health therapist. There's yoga therapy. There's also a person who does, everyone wants to feel beautiful too. So they have like a blowout bar. There's myofascial massage therapist there. There's an esthetician who does all lymphatic massage as well. What else is there?
That's a whole lot of people.
That's a lot.
That's
a whole lot. We just put our flyer together to have a Mother's Day specials, and we can barely get out everyone on the flyer, everyone's business, but it's really wonderful. I'm happy to see how that grows, to be able to offer the community, which is a lovely community, and it stems from the owners. I'll put their name out there too. It's called Thermal Horizons Yoga and Wellness Center in Valencia. It's a beautiful space.
I really feel like these collectives are kind of the future. I don't know how you all feel, but I just in my bones, I feel like we as a society are coming to this understanding of how interconnected we all are, and we can't always be so individualistic and do it on our own. And we're starting to understand like, yeah, we could share marketing costs. We could share ideas. We could share space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see that. It just reminds me of an old show. I better not say the show. I don't know if that's I always hear people say, oh, no, we can't say that because we don't have the rights. So I won't say it.
Oh, yeah. And you would still be open to the local hospital if they called you and said, hey, come on over here and do some cancer classes. You'd be like,
absolutely. Right now, it's a matter of me just, you know, I had to take a little bit of a breather after school. And, you know, now this is happening. It's on my list to start reaching out a little bit more in that space as well. Yeah.
You've been busy. You deserve
yes.
Here. But you haven't rested because I'm about to show your new website that is so beautiful. Tell us about this.
So this is my website for my business, Arise Yoga Therapy and Wellness, because now I do yoga therapy. I do the Ayurvedic lifestyle counseling. And there's the yoga nidra that I do, customized yoga nidra meditation, and also Reiki energy healing. And
it's a beautiful set of offerings to do yoga therapy, Ayurveda, yoga nidra, Reiki. I mean, goodness.
Yes. I've done a lot of training in between there. Oh, there's my education.
Look at you. And you're a certified oncology yoga teacher.
So, yes, I work with Tari Prinster. Actually, I took the training a couple of years ago with Tari, and it was one of the support centers that I had done a retreat at. This is after my treatment. It's a process, you know, healing is a process. It's a small world when you start meeting people. And then, because I know some other yoga therapists here in LA now that they have a foothold or a footprint with the cancer communities. And I had taken like a 2-day retreat, had experienced yoga for cancer. And I thought, there again, to make myself more knowledgeable about what cancer patients need as part of yoga therapy, I took training with Tari. When things opened up, when it became virtual, obviously, the cost was a little bit less because you weren't having to travel. So that opened up different trainings you want to take. So I was asked then to be her teacher's aide, one of her teacher's aide at the retreat for that very Living Beauty Foundation is the name of that foundation. And so I was able to do the first retreat with her last year as her teaching assistant. And this year, they were able to find funds, the organization, to extend the time and also to allow for many yoga therapy sessions with the participants. It's about 18 participants. So Tari, myself, and another yoga therapist will be able to do individual practices to create care plans with the participants for them to take something home that they can bring into their life as something to help them in their healing process. Really excited about
That's
that too.
Very exciting to hear that.
Yeah.
I have another LA friend that works with Living Beauty.
Living Beauty Foundation, yes.
Mm-hmm. Great foundation.
Yeah, you've heard of Tari Prinster?
Yoga I'm a fan, yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's a wonderful lady, too, who was a pioneer, basically, in this field.
Well, Kenya, you, too, are a pioneer. I know it seems when you look at someone like Tina, who's been doing this. She was in the first cohort of, there's 14 now at Maryland University of Integrative Health. You think, oh, well, Tina has been doing this so long. But I mean, Tina was like before the pioneers, you know, the pre-pioneers.
Right.
I like to tell people yoga therapy is, I mean, as a profession, I don't know, what are we, 20 years old in the United States? And in India, obviously much, much longer. But in terms of the International Association of Yoga Therapists and having curriculum standards and a national exam, like we are so young compared to things like physical therapy, which is a couple of hundred years. Mm-hmm. So Kenya, you are one of the pioneers also. And I'm so grateful that you are willing to tell your story of how it all unfolded and all the ways that you said yes to the universe.
So. I appreciate you for allowing me to share. And for all those teachers that I was able to learn from MUIH, they were all just really wonderful. And they really set a standard because they were able to start and, you know, like Tina and, you know, really created her own path or, you know, to a program opening up. They were the people knocking on doors and really, and part of, I find even for myself, part of my passion and goal as a person who's finished, completed the program is to educate, continue that education of the public about this wonderful modality that's, you know, so beneficial.
Yeah, wonderful. Tina, do you have any last words before we close up here? Anything you want to share with us?
Yeah, I just want to say it's really exciting, Kenya, to see kind of the ripple effect that we just meet one another at these university programs, and then just to see that's amazing work that folks are doing in their communities. And I think that ties back to what Amy's saying. It's like, we are the ones to heal our communities, our families, ourselves, you know? So it's like, we are the ones to go out there and share. I find that teachings that are already passing through us, you know, through a new lens into our communities with our voices. So it's just really exciting to see. And I'm so excited for you and grateful.
Thank you. You know, we heal together, you know, and we need each other. I really believe that. And I always say, just sharing your light, each of us, it could be pitch black, but one little pin light is all you need to be able to see your way through.
I want to end on that note. That's what we need to hear. Just one little tiny, tiny light. Thank you, Kenya. Thank you, Tina, for both of you sharing what you do and giving the rest of the field hope, honestly. I mean, I think that's what we need right now is this message that, look, we can go out there and do this work. Here's two people that are successfully out there getting it done. And so thank you two for being the light to show the rest of us how it can happen. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you for having us. Thank you
for having us.
I just want to thank Kenya and Tina for coming on today and for being with us and helping us to understand the journey of yoga, yoga therapy, and Ayurveda, how it is that we, each of us in our own way, come home to self and get to know ourselves again. That's what I really heard from Kenya, is that yoga was one of the primary ways after this cancer diagnosis and treatment that she was able to get to know herself again. If you'd like to contact either Kenya or Tina, I want to give you that contact information. Kenya is at ariseyogatherapy.com, A-R-I-S-E, yogatherapy.com. And she told you a little bit about the services she offers. And Tina also has a website. Tina's website is www.yogawithtina.com. And Tina also has a private practice. She's a professor at MUIH. She does speaking events. She does workplace wellness events. She teaches yoga therapy and Ayurveda all over, and then also works at the hospital. So thank you both for coming today and sharing your story with us. And we're just so grateful to have you out there in the world doing such great work. All right. Until next time, we'll see you soon.
Thank you to our guests this week, and thank you for listening to the Yoga Therapy Hour. Something that I've been working on behind the scenes with my friend Marlisa Sullivan is going to come out in 2026. We've been writing a book together for the last year where we go deeply into yoga philosophy and yoga therapy. And then we have the scientific vagus nerve, heart rate variability, all sorts of polyvagal theory to back up why it is that yoga philosophy is right on track and why it's been helping people for thousands of years. We're turning in our book this fall to the publisher, and in the spring of 2026, it should come out. So we're just giving you a little heads up that that will be coming out soon. And when it does, we can't wait to share it with you.
Thank you for listening to the Yoga Therapy Hour. We wish you a wonderful week. We hope that somehow, in a small way, we've contributed to your well-being so that you can go out and share that well-being with others. That's what life is all about, bringing in the goodness through you and then shining it out to the world. We need you more than ever. So let's all get out there, do good,
be good, and have a great week.